welcome to Power Up. This is a weekly show that Trisha and I do so we can talk about what we're playing, watching, and reading every single week, whether it's on the YouTube page, whether it's live here on Trisha's Twitch channel. But every other week, we get a guest involved to ask them what they are playing, watching, and reading, mainly to give us a little bit of a week off so we can get a new Power Up for the week after. That's but this true. Time, we've got an incredibly cool guest. Trisha and I both know him. Trish, you have worked with our guest for quite some time. Tell me a little bit about your relationship before we bring him on.
I've had the extra special opportunity to work with today's guest for 3 years full-time at SourceFed. We were co-founding members of SourceFed Nerd together, which basically meant that we developed a lot of content and shows that no one ever saw, but we had a really good time doing it. And then we got to work together at Comic-Con HQ, and I have had the pleasure of having this guest on lots of different shows that I've worked on all over the internet, and I've come and worked with him. We were on Polaris Primetime together on Disney XD, and he is just one of my go-to people whenever anyone's like, hey, do you know any male co-hosts that you work well with? I'm like, actually, yes, I do. Let me proudly introduce you to Mr. Steve Zaragoza.
Yay! Hello!
Welcome, hello. Steve. Thank you for being on Power Up.
Thank you for having me. That was a sweet intro.
Well, you're a sweet, sweet boy, and we love you very much. And now you and Maud also got to work together on SourceFed. Talk to me about your working relationship.
Well, we only worked together for about 15 months because I kind of peaced out a little bit earlier than some people. But in that time, it was a little bit of a roller coaster in the sense that we were kind of initially all a little bit, put either here or there, and we were interchangeable. But then that kind of changed halfway through where they wanted to really define roles. And it was quite interesting to realize that the more popular channel with the more subscribers, no one really wanted to work there, and Nerd became like the coolest place to be, and everyone wanted to work for Nerd. And I thought that was really cool because Nerd
it's
was
because
like,
it was the it, we. It's interesting that the Nerd channel were the cool kids because we got to go to Fun and Fantastic Fest, and we got to go to all these, like, you know, E3 and Trisha to CES, and like everybody was like, "What?" I remember Joe the first year we went to Comic-Con as SourceFed Nerd, Joe was like, I'm a nerd too. I want to go to Comic-Con. Yeah. I'm like, no, you got to do your news. Talk about while me and Trisha go work our asses off.
But about fun stuff. And I think that was the thing is they hired a bunch of actors and comedians and then asked us to do the news. So it was like SourceFed, you can do world news and news proper, which, let's be honest, is not very fun when that's not your chosen profession. Like, none of us were journalism majors. None of us went into this trying to be reporters. We just wanted to have a good time and goof around on camera, which SourceFed gave us the opportunity to do while also talking about the news. But it was like, oh man, well, if I can do that and talk about comic books and video games, or I can do that and talk about world news. Like, everyone's going to choose comic books and video games.
But I also found that, like, my fondest memories aren't, oh man, I broke this story, or I made this opinion. My fondest memories are, like, bloopers or table talk stories, or just things that unraveled or were, like, super, super, like, bonding or personality-based things that had nothing to do with the news. Like, Steve, when they're called online, it's Steve's most offensive bloopers yet. But when we did Geekly News, and Geekly News was something that I wanted to bring to the table where it was like making a parody of news, but then also we pretended that Steve and I were this like newly divorced couple that had to keep it professional on camera, but we would keep like obliterating each other with mercilessness, remarks. And one of the ones that you said about my poor vagina, like, leaves me to staring today. So I don't know if you ever saw it, Fisher, but he would just lean over and be like, it's like someone kicked open a tangerine with a steel-toed boot. Someone put a firecracker in a pot roast. Like, but you just keep on with these on the spot, and like, There was no hope for us. Like, I could not keep it together. I still can't keep it together. What is it, 3-4 years later? I still can't not laugh when I have.
I mean, we were really blessed to be able to, like,
literally.
Wait, what's the Chappie? What's the Chappie reference?
Oh my god, you're like, and the news today, or like this guy from the movie, this District 9, and Chappie.
Listen, that show was totally fun. We got to just like make each other laugh.
Yeah, I couldn't make
the crew laugh.
Got me, but
now was Nerdly News the same thing, or Geekly News? Was that like what we called Nerd News?
No, because Nerd News was like a serious attempt at like trying to cover Nerd News, and Geekly News was parody of that.
Okay.
Like, we had like Nerd News to talk about, and we actually did, but it was like
it was a highlight
in between those things.
The news segments, yeah, but it wasn't about that at all. Right. It was about these snide, yeah, remarks, usually about, you know.
We obviously had a past, and we couldn't keep it off the program.
Hilarious.
So we were just talking about our personal lives,
and it was basically like
which was great.
Both miserable in the bedroom, and that I was trying to steal you for every cent that you had. It was like a bunch of things,
right.
Like super uncomfortable, because I didn't know that was you know, it was getting a bit too close to home sometimes. I was like, what's going on, this is really funny, and you're like, ha.
I mean, that's
we're missing one of the best parts, which was that you were doing American accent.
I would try to do an American accent. Yeah, because I was an American.
I think you were
news anchor, and I couldn't say
Star Wars.
But then I also did the Yoda impersonation. Oh, great to see you! I was so proud of you for using your real voice. Just completely different. But I actually watched a handful of bloopers. I think it was just yesterday, because that, to me, was just the funniest stuff, and it's just ingrained, and I will never not find them funny.
Yep.
I mean, there were tough times for sure, but there were totally so many times, and we had a blast. I wouldn't trade those memories for anything.
Steve, do you have any old bloopers or any old specific videos that you'll rewatch every now and then fondly?
Oh, the bloopers are always good. Everybody was so good. I mean, there was a reason why you saw on all these shows, because everybody had something special to bring to the table. And even when, you know, when someone wasn't particularly your flavor or whatever, you would watch the bloopers, and they would just be like, you would see how we were all real people really trying to keep it together. And that's where you really kind of like saw that, you know, I guess it kind of like everyone's minds a little bit, that we weren't just these like trying to be journalists, which we weren't. But yeah, I'll watch the bloopers, because it was such a showcase of everybody just kind of like being themselves, and just I love making people laugh, and I love it when people make me laugh, and I just love to laugh, and those are absolutely the best of the best. I'll actually watch some SourceFed animated sometimes too, because those are a lot of fun.
Those are a lot of fun. Shout out to Andre, who's like super killing it now
YouTube. He's the best.
Andre is the best. Yeah, there's a video. There's two super old videos that I will go back to time and time again. And it's one that I think Megan Tonjes took on her phone, and it might even be on her channel, not SourceFed or SourceFed Nerd, where we're all singing King of Wishful Thinking in the old writer's room at the top of our lungs, and I'm just like eating a massive tuna fish sandwich, and like it just makes no sense. It's just this random snippet of behind the scenes at SourceFed from the very beginning, and it's so
I mean, that writer's
huh?
Truly a writer's room was really a beautiful place for us to all play and have fun, but also work really hard. I remember there was a vine where I think I was like filming Ross or something, and you can see you in the background fully just falling asleep at your table. Oh. It's like we're working
because we started nearly at 6 a.m. which meant I had to get up at 5 every day.
Funny. Right.
Ooh, I missed right. that. Oh, God.
Yeah, I think it was Ross. It was behind me, like dancing, and I'm in the foreground just doing this. And like to the point where like almost my head dropped, and I had to catch myself. Like that's yeah, how really great. Asleep it was a I great was. Moment. And it was yeah, not acute little... asleep. It was like slight drool, total face malformed. Yeah.
Oh,
sleep.
You were like done.
Totally done. That, and do you remember the video that Phil just randomly walked in the writer's room and filmed of me jumping out of a box and then Joe?
Oh, I'll never forget it.
That's one of my favorites. If I'm in a bad mood, I just go back and watch that video because Joe is so funny in it.
I mean, it's surprising to me even to this day how you were able to get yourself into the neatest of places, Trisha. That was such a...
The random magician's assistant skill of being have. Able to contort yourself into very, very tiny balls.
Yeah, I mean, it was always amazing every time.
The chat's going off about our album, Steve, and I really want to take this time to tell everyone that you and I have been actively talking about this album. I mean, this year we've brought it up twice. I brought it up in January because I just had this wave of inspiration where I was like, dude, we need to do this. We need to do the album. And you were like, great, really busy month. Let's check back in around Feb, March. And then, of course, quarantine hit. And then I was like, oh, man. And then I was like, dude, just send me the tracks and I'll drop the audio. Like, I'll just sing. And so this is something that we have, like, honestly spent a lot of time or talking about. But there, it's not out of
the realm. Yeah, I have the receipts. Right. I mean, we'd even a... joke. We've totally been talking about this still. And
we went through them.
Yeah, all. Yeah. I've got them all listed out and I've got all the chords and stuff. And I think I even sent you like a demo for an album version of one of the songs.
Yes,
I was like,
you
yeah, because you got on you. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Because it had like an intro and it had a first chorus, and I don't think we've ever had that much of it or whatever, but yeah, I remember you were just like
talented assholes. I love you dearly.
I know. Well, you know, we're just can't be contained, Trisha.
Well, thank you.
But you know, Maude, it did because we just, I mean, come on, we were always with like weirds and instruments and stuff on the set anyway, and so
you probably recorded in, and within half an hour within half an hour we had about 6 songs for the album. But like,
well, I love that about you, Maude. You were always down to like play with that kind of stuff, just like Trisha. You guys are just like the best at playing along with weird bits and just throwing weird musical things into the mix, and those are magical, beautiful days.
I think
magical.
The saddest part about starting the song Freezing My Eggs is that I actually have gotten to an age where I legitimately need to start freezing my eggs.
Now you're into it.
And I've got an anthem for it now.
So can you guys give us like just a small teaser of one of your songs, maybe Freezing My Eggs, since you brought it up?
oh, like for real?
Yeah, I mean, if you can, I totally understand. I'm putting you on the spot, but
if it's, I mean, I could go grab the guitar right now. Should I go grab it? All right, let me go grab it.
Get
have it
guitar,
on hand.
Steve.
The easiest part about a lot of our songs, Trisha, is that they really only one of them. We actually have two verses and a chorus. Go to School's our most thought out, fleshed out song, but Freezing My Eggs, Sam Is My Friend, they're basically only just like the one phrase just sung over and over again, and
oh,
Freezing
yes.
My Eggs is one of them.
Well, Steve, so my only songs with Steve were all by accident.
Yes.
So it was like Steve would sing a song near me and I would like try to participate but not very well, and then I would just end up laughing through the entire rest of the song. Or there was a song that was a horrible, weird noise that came out of my mouth in, like, in between takes that they used yes! in bloopers that Owen Dude. Remixed into, like, this sick beat that a then legendary. People put to Royals and yes. all sorts of...
Well, because you were just like, okay, so I really went down the rabbit hole of that song like maybe a couple of years ago. And the origin of it is because Owen was editing some SourceFed Nerd thing. And at one point, you were just kind of like in between takes, like while the script is being scrolled or something. You were just like,
just the stupid thing you do. But I also did this, which made it weirder. So, like, you know, you're standing on your Apple box, you're reading, and I totally did something that was like, da, 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 da. Like, I was just, like, in between takes trying to, like, shake it out and, like, focus on the next thing. Much. And, yeah, Owen remixed it into this, like, beat that then people put to different hip-hop songs, and it was so funny.
That's amazing.
And then we took that and took it with us. So does. And then I did a parody of Royals where your
was like the perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
See, all the songs with Steve were by accident together. Because I'm not actually musically talented at all. So I'm excited to hear what you two can put together, both being musically talented people.
Do you want to do out of yes? Because I've got the chord here.
Yeah, out of might be better, yeah. Because freezing my eggs is literally just like...
It's O4, C, and F.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Wait, hang on.
Is that O4?
I'm freezing my eggs.
Oh, no, I was doing out of yes.
Yeah, whatever. But anyway, that's all freezing my eggs is anyway. It's that just was just literally like,
yeah, but then was it was freezing my on and crescendo and
yeah, because it's like just freezing my eggs. So stupid.
Yeah, that one was stupid.
Okay, live in a, or which one is it? Go to school? Yeah, go to school is the best.
Out of gas, 04.
Oh, out of gas. Yeah, out of gas is good too. Yeah, okay, so that's 04.
Keep breaking up a little bit though. That's number 4, C and F.
Damn, why is that happening? This has never happened to me before. Oh, you know what? I wonder if it, what if I switch, now this might be an insane idea, and I know Amy's freaking out right now, because she's like, what are you going to do? But what if I switched from this microphone to a different microphone, because what if it's the microphone?
You can totally try that, and I'm the one whose face you would be freaking out right now. But you can totally just in we're using Google Meets, a little behind the scenes for everybody. In Google Meets, you would just need to change your audio input
with the dot dot great. Dot right hand side.
So yeah, change that and see if you have a different mic that you like better.
What's the mic?
If that's bad.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Is it the same?
It's still a bit free. It's just delayed, dude.
Why is this happening? I hate it. I just want to have a good time with my friends.
What if you take your headset out? Would that do anything?
Better?
No.
Wow, bummer.
Yeah, I don't think microphone. It's your mic. It was worth trying, but I don't think it's your mic.
Yeah, what could it be? I haven't, this is not an issue I have. Listen, I never have problems.
Well, and at least before the show, it would be a little laggy and then stop and then a little bit and then stop. Yeah. So
I'm not saying it's my connection, but I'm hardwired and we did a speed test and I'm golden, baby.
Well, when we did the speed test, you had no lag, to be fair. So it might be doing this, as everything in Los Angeles is right now, with like quarantine and shelter in place orders. Everybody's internet, except for Mods, everybody's internet is like, I'm here, I'm not here, I'm here, I'm not here. Mods is awesome now.
Yeah, but I had that one bad week that no one's forgiven me for yet.
Are we doing it? Yeah. Are we going to still try to do out of gas really quick?
I think you should still try to do it, yes.
Okay, so let's see. I think it's like... Yeah, that's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
does it go? It goes,
out of gas.
I am out.
That's not the right part.
Oh, right. Out of gas.
There it is.
I'm out. Out of gas. For my car. Can get very far. Because I'm out
of gas.
Yes. Out of gas. Whatever.
Over and over again. But then it gets faster and faster and faster and faster, and then you slow it right down, and then you come.
Yeah.
I was trying to download a phone lighter app just for you guys, but it didn't download in time. I'm sorry.
Oh, bummer.
Living on the Streets is like that 70s kind of like hair musical.
Living on the streets.
And then you just have to like jazz out a bit.
You got to. We got to finish this damn thing. Damn it.
Anyway, I think it should happen. And if you need a bonus track suggestion, yeah, I'll throw in Steve's Royals remix.
Yes.
Thank you.
I need a text. I'm going to text Owen right away after this, and please tell me you have.
I love him so much. Please send Trisha him my love so very much.
I will.
Stevie.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the interview portion of Power Up with Steve. And as we do that, we've got a little bombs away happening. Hello, Amy Cassandra Martinez. No, we don't. That's the next one. My bad.
Okay.
You know what? We're going to call it here. There was Amy. She just said hi to pop in. But
Amy,
we're going to do
Power. But before we wrap this up, what I do want to ask you, Stevie, is what's going on with the Valley Folk? Where can people find you now? What are you up to? We've done a lot of reminiscing, but what is Steve Zaragoza's life like right now?
It's complex because we're all in this dang quarantine together and trying to maintain a production company business is quite complicated, but we're making it work. In between playing Animal Crossing so much, I'm just chilling, working and chilling. Oh yes, and I've been doing rooftop photo shoot. We've been doing these, like, Alana's been trying to do these, like, these kind of cosplay kind of like almost like bounding instead of full cosplay, but she's been bounding as these like characters. We've been doing these movie night streams.
Yeah.
And so she's been doing, and so we go to them and she's like, throw on this black jacket and I'm going to cut some holes out of this old t-shirt and put on this hat and you're Zorro now. And I'm like, okay. And yeah,
the Zorro. It looked really good.
He's clever.
It's really fun. We did a Tremors one where I was the And then we did something else. I can't remember. Oh, we did The Craft.
Ooh.
Very fun. You could see that. Yeah.
Very cool. And you are doing those streams, the movie night watches with Anthony Carboni on his Twitch channel, right?
That's right. Twitch.tv/AnthonyCarboni. A little plug for you. But yeah, every Tuesday night. You guys should be in that at some point, please. Have time.
Yes.
Are you excited about Zorro at all?
It's only what, Tuesday nights? Oh, it was Tuesday
nights. Tuesday night.
Before my caffeine show went on hiatus. Now that it's on hiatus, I'm free on Tuesday nights.
Oh, so here's what I'll ask you. Look on Netflix for a movie that you really love that you don't mind being talked over the entire time with bits and jokes. And then text me that, and then we'll throw it onto the poll, and then when people choose it, we'll get on.
I'm putting mine in right now.
And Steve, people in chat are also asking what your Twitch channel is, and if you stream, and if so, how often?
My Twitch channel is twitch.tv/thevalleyfolk. And, you know, we got in trouble with Twitch because we were streaming on YouTube too much.
When you're a Twitch partner, you can't do that, Steve.
I didn't know. We're just little boys trying to make a company work. And we didn't know. And so just doing it on YouTube because more people would come to the YouTube.
You can still do it on YouTube. You just can't do them both at the same time.
Right. We just weren't streaming on Twitch at all. So, so we were, so now I'm back on twitch.tv/thevilk and I've been doing Animal Crossing there, and we're going to do, some other things like Jackbox. And I think I'm going to try a, Five Nights at Freddy's in VR, cause I've never played it before.
Have fun with that.
Yeah. Good luck with that. That'll be terrifying.
I know, can't wait.
We love you so much. Thank you so much. Steve is going to be hanging out with us for the playing, watching, and reading segments that will be coming up in just a bit. So hold on to your butts. Stay tuned. We'll have more Steve Zaragoza for you in just a second. Is that a Wookiee noise? What was that?
It's the Velociraptor.
T-Rex, guys.
Oh, it's T-Rex. It was a raptor. You did the raptor time.
I'm deathly afraid of velociraptors. Steve pretended to be one once while I had a VR headset on and made a vine about it, and I cried. And I cried on Steve's vine, and that's a true story.
That is true. We had a lot of fun.
Okay, because you know how scary VR games are? I had on a VR helmet, and I have an irrational fear of velociraptors. And in the VR game, a velociraptor came up and is like breathing in this side of your ear. And Steve knew that because he had already played said game. So I'm freaking out. It's right here. Steve physically jumps on me from this side. So I'm like, it's not real. It's not real. It can't hurt you. And then I feel something physically come at me from this side. And I lost my shit. But not only did Steve do this, he filmed the whole thing.
Oh, good. Of course. Yeah. Of course.
I'll try to find the video.
If it doesn't live forever.
Okay. So
if I still have it.
With that being said, I know we need to move on to the next segment. As always, when we do these podcasts on Twitch, I don't have my normal notifications going, so I want to take a moment to shout out everybody who's been so awesome so far throughout the show, which is a lot of people, so thank you, thank you. Classy Librarian kicked us off with a raid. Thank you so much, Classy. Arquin101, thank you for the resub. The Valley Folk hosted. Hey! Foo2099, thank you for the resub for 51 months. Holy crap, that's a lot of time. You're amazing. DOS949, DGAF007, and UpsandDowns1892. All of you, thank you so much for the resubs. And everyone saying love the old SourceFen days. Amazing. And welcome to the new folks who have followed as well. I super appreciate you. Let's see who else we got. ZX Style resubbed. Thank you so much. Matter of Dragons followed and subbed using Twitch Prime. You're amazing. Thank you so much. PSWeedy2008 resubbed for 55 months. That's got to be OG, right? 55, I think, is OG. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And says, Steve, Trish, and Maude together make me so happy with a heart. And Xolotl1345, I love your username. Also subscribed with Twitch Prime. Welcome to the Dragon Riders. Happy to have you guys. You are the best. Yes, Rasfaz, I do remember the Scampi song. Thank you for bringing that up. That was GTA Noobs. That was all Steve. That was all Steve with me just laughing in the background. I don't think I contributed.
You were such an integral part of that show, Trisha. You were as important as my dumb shit was.
It was very funny. We had a good time. GTA Noobs.
We did have a good time.
Okay, so Maude, anything you want to shout out before we move into playing?
No, let's get into playing.
Let's do it. Okay, bring us in, Maude.
Welcome to the playing portion of Power Up. This is when we talk about what we are playing at the moment. So if you're watching live or if you're watching on VOD on Geek Bomb's YouTube, comment below what you are playing and let's all flex together because we're putting some hours into some games. Sup, Maude here with Trisha. And we have this week's amazing guest, Mr. SourceFed himself, moving into Valley Folk, Steve Zaragoza, who has put a number of hours into this game. Let's talk about Animal Crossing.
Let's talk about Animal Crossing, Steve. Why is this what you're playing, in your words, nonstop?
I mean, I've always loved Animal Crossing. I played it since the game days, and I didn't play all of them, though. But the GameCube one, my favorite games back in the day. And I don't know. I'm just a sucker for incredibly de-stressing Japanese a fun time. So I'm just obsessed. I'm right now kind of like deep into the terraforming aspect of the game, kind of like redesign your island and such. But I don't know what it is. It's kind of like therapy without having to pay for a therapist.
That's pretty nice. I'm considering paying for a therapist right now, so maybe I should just get Animal Crossing.
Yeah, try Animal Crossing first, because it's truly a very thing situation. And a lot of people make it seem like there's a lot of stressful aspects to it. And if you make it, certainly there can be, but the whole purpose game is to just hang out and, you know, plant some. Yeah, the whole turnips thing is just out of control. I had a big turnip situation that happened recently, and so never
explain to me, who doesn't play, A, what just happened with your turnip situation, and why everyone's worried about the price of turnips.
Well, Animal Crossing is essentially you guys have not talked about Animal Crossing here, or are you just saying for people who've joined us now?
We haven't gone into like the you know, stock market talk of turnips yet.
So this market, STALK, is it's an aspect of the game where you truly are kind of playing the stocks. There are turnips that this lovely little piglet comes to town to sell you. You know, she's adorable, but she does need to blow her nose. It's very
it's just dropping out of her nose at all time. It's like a big drip.
She's so cute, except drip. It's just like, blow your nose, girl. It's like Grisabella from Cats, pretty much. But Jennifer Hudson's character.
Thank you. But basically, I was there, Steve, with you when we saw it, and I still have no idea what you're talking about because I got obliterated drunk.
Yeah. But you remember the runny nose on Jennifer Hudson, right? Not at all? Okay, well.
During memory?
Yes, during memory.
Was I telling her that she needed a tissue?
Yes.
Yes, that sounds about right.
So anyway, you can buy turnips at a certain price, and then the prices wait on your island. So you buy them on Sunday, and you can sell them on Sunday, but starting at 8 a.m., the Nook children will buy them back from you for times higher prices, and sometimes it's a super high price and sometimes it's a super low price, and so it's a big gamble. And recently I've been really getting into just kind of like, I mean, I don't know, I wasn't getting into it, but a friend of mine invited me to her island and kind of became my Animal Crossing sugar mama a little bit, because she went so far that real money involved in the game, like bells on eBay, and got like this stuff on eBay. And basically, this person that you hopefully control comes to your island, delivers like billions of bells to you somehow. And so I visited her island, and she's just like, follow me around my island. And every like third step, she was dropping like 99,000 bell bags just on the ground. And I'm like, what's this? And she's like, pick them up, they're yours. And so she just loaded me up with this money, and I was like, okay, cool, I can't say no to this. So I decided to play the stock market a little bit because I had a lot of spare in the game. And recently I spent 3 million bells on turnip and made 7 million on the return.
That's great.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I am turnips. I never want to do it again. I'm not going to play the turnip game anymore, because the way that I was able to turn such a profit is because people were nice enough to invite me to their island when the turnip prices are high. So someone tweeted at me like, my turnips are worth 500 bells a turnip. And so if I had 3 million bells worth of turnips, like that's quite a profit, right? So but the problem is you have to go back and forth and back and forth to this person's island in order to sell all your turnips. And it was just a nightmare, because traveling to someone else's island is never fun. And the internet the multiplayer aspect kind of sucks. Yeah, multiplayer aspect, you wait for this cutscene every time someone comes to your island and everyone has to sit through it. It's just like kind of a broken part of the game, really.
Well, Nintendo's Switch has never been real great about online services or multiplayer in general. So at least you can visit other people's islands, which is a huge coup. And speaking of other people's islands, Steve, the pictures we're looking at right here are actually stills from your island, sir.
Yes. Yes, those are that's my island. That's Raisin.
You're using your mask. That's very good.
Yeah.
Tell us what's happening. I am being responsible, here,
especially when it visits someone else's island. Well, on this this here on the top right, we're looking at me visiting one of my neighbors, Anka. She's an Egyptian cat. And she's super cool. I love her a lot. She's one of my favorite islanders. And she has a golden toilet in her home and frequently sitting on it when I go to visit her. And it's very strange.
Like,
you
Club
know, 33. Hey, no shame. You know?
She made a Club 33 potty.
Yes, she totally did. That's her. But she doesn't have a bed, you notice there. She's just got like a golden toilet and a couple of pieces of her. But anyway, what's happening in this shot is entered her home and realized that there was no reason for me to do immediately exited. And whenever you do that in the game, if you just enter a neighbor's home and then leave right away without talking to them, they just like a question mark pops up above their head like,
why did you do that?
What do you think? Why'd you come in here? So it's very cute. That's what's happening there. On the bottom left image, I'm showing off a scorpion that I caught on my island, which is a very harrowing adventure to catch a scorpion, because if you're stung by it, you basically pass out and respawn at your house, and then the scorpion's gone. But in here, this is the Museum of Raisin, and that's Blathers. And Blathers is the museum curator. He basically runs the museum, but he hates bugs. So I decided to show off my scorpion in the museum. And what I didn't realize was, is if you do that near Blathers, he basically freaks out. So that's him like going like, put the scorpion away. So that's what that is.
Good.
And I can't tell what this one is. Corner. Oh, yes, there's my stock achievement. Yes,
that's you flexing that you got all the stamps fulfilled by selling the most amount of turnips that is required for that. That's a nice flex you got there.
Yeah, it's 10 million. If you've made 10 million bells off of turnips, you basically fill out this mint card. So I'm done with turnips.
The only question that I have really with this is, do you want a sugar baby?
Wait, what?
I could have a sugar baby. Yeah, I could have a baby. Maud, are you looking for a sugar daddy?
I don't know. Am I daddy?
Wow.
Well, come to Raisin, baby. I'll drop you some bells.
You are.
Listen, I'm going to put a spot right now, Maud.
Hold on.
I don't know if
your island is called Raisin?
It's called Raisin, yes.
Is that because you're raisin prices?
I was going to ask if it was because of Raisin in the Sun.
Yes, Raisin in the Sun is my absolute favorite play. Is it a play before it's a book? Anyway, Maud, I have to call you out on something Animal Crossing related.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly reminded of it every time that I play. Basically, so you came to visit my island once, and it was really nice, and it was sweet. We hung out, and it was great. So I sent you a best friend request in Animal Crossing to be one of my best friends, so that we can, because when you're a best friend with someone, you can like send them things and they can come to your island and stuff like that. So, I have been left on best friend pending since I visited my island, and you're the only person who has left me on best friend pending.
This is hilarious. I love that this is happening right now live.
It just hurts every time. It hurts every time because I look at my list. Because, you know, you look at your list. You look at your list of friends.
Sure.
When you're Animal Crossing.
Oh, okay, I'm in it.
Are you in it? Okay. Open up your Nook phone. Yes, yeah. And then go to your friends, which is on the next page.
There's another page?
There's another page.
There
we go.
There's another page. And
there you see the friends tab.
See, Steve, now you know it's not a personal slight.
Waiting on a
friend. I know. Listen, all right. I figured you didn't really know that you had to do that. But
so, Maud, yeah.
There it is right there. Waiting on approval.
Maud, will you be my sugar daddy?
How many people have you now left hanging, not knowing about this?
Yeah.
No one else.
Am I the only one?
Yeah. No one else has sent me one. Do you want to what's it going to cost for me to press accept?
Listen, if you accept and you visit Raisin, there might be some bells in your future, baby.
Okay. Boink. Become best friends.
I think Alana's going to be jealous.
Alana was like, when she heard that I had a sugar mama, she was like, who's this girl? Who is she?
A software update is required. Oh,
thanks, Nintendo. Whoa. Okay. You know,
it's important.
Now, every time someone comes on the show and talks about Animal Crossing, I'm like, man, I got to get in on that game. And then I'm like, but I also got to finish Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Trisha, oh, yeah. I've played 75 hours and I have barely done anything. I only just unlocked terraforming.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know. I just know that I will not finish other games. So I wanna finish the games on my docket before I get in.
But Trisha, you must. You'll love it so much. Do you know, have you played any of the Animal Crossing games before?
Nope.
It's not super objection based. Like, you just get to kind of free roam and do little bits of pieces here and there. It's kind of up to you to want to see how many items you buy or how much you do to your island. I don't care about aesthetics super much. And I think that spending 800,000 bells on a shower that you can't even use is a bit ridiculous. But I have visited some islands and I am immediately out of my depths and realize that people are very dedicated to it, and I probably will never get to that level unless someone sends me 1,000 turnips.
That's how I feel with other people's Minecraft. Like, anytime I go on other people's Minecraft servers, I'm like, what have you built? Like, I barely made a, like, 10 square by 10 square hut, and people have these amazing mansions and castles.
Diamond mansions.
It's just because people have decided to put all of their time into it. Which, by the way, I have 285 hours or more put into Animal Crossing.
That's a lot.
And I think Kevin Plackey the other day did some math, and he said that's like, I think, because since the game came out, I've been playing it every single day. He said, I think 7 hours a day of Animal Crossing. But listen, it's not that anymore. When it first came out, it truly was like every single day for hours and hours and hours. And now it's like, get my work done, and then like maybe around 10 a.m. I jump in for like half an hour, all my stuff, I hit some rocks, I shake some trees, see if there's anything new in the shop. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna shut it down, I got work to do.
I get it, man. Well, I am so, it makes me so happy to hear you talk about this so happily. Mod is now best friends.
So much.
With
it makes
Steve,
me so happy.
Everybody.
Yay, we did it.
Did I island?
That's great. Now I'll send you all sorts of stuff. Yeah, we're going to get presents.
Very, very exciting. All right, should we bring in Amy for some bombs away?
Yeah, Amy, what kind of questions have we got today?
Well, congratulations for the both of you. I'm very excited. But yes, so this question is actually from Patreon, from our bomber backer, Steven Summers. He asks, what is your proudest gaming achievement? I will also be taking a Twitch question soon.
Steve, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't really keep tabs on gaming achievements. Like, I think I beat God of War on the hardest setting my first time through, the new one on the PlayStation. So that's kind of cool, I guess. I don't know. I don't really consider myself, like, game. Kind of just, I play games, I love them, but I don't really, like, claim to be such a skilled gamer, really. But I will say this. Something recently happened. Tetris 99. Have you ever played Tetris 99?
I love that game. Love it.
Me too. I will play it endlessly. I'll just like, you know, relax. It's another de-stressor kind of game.
Did you get number one?
I've gotten first place 3 times.
Ah.
That's a big deal, dude. That's a big deal, dude.
Yeah, I've seen people play like Tetris at a professional level and it's goosebump inducing. It's like, it's good stuff.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever compete professionally because it's so...
Well, did you know I actually host this from time to time? It's a Tetris Royale game that you guys can download the app for. And remember how, like, Trivia HQ at midday and at 7 o'clock every night, like, you would get notified that the quiz was about to start? It's like that, but yeah, with a Tetris game. So everyone around the world is playing the same Tetris game, and it's ranked as well. So,
okay, what is it called?
I think it used to be called Tetris Royale. It was initially released in just New Zealand only, but I think it's out now. I will text you more details if I need to give you more details. One of the Tetris, it used to be Royale Tetris.
Yeah, I don't see a regular Tetris.
Yeah, if you find it, then I will find it. Not, I will get the details.
European thing, that would make me very sad.
That's pretty cool. Proudest gaming achievement. I always default to beating Myst in 48 hours in college with no walkthrough. That's because awesome. I totally didn't eat or sleep or anything until I beat. Like, I just was like the typical, like, get in the zone and get it done. but recently, more recently than that, I would say Ori and the Will of the Wisps. I was pretty happy when I beat that. Or Celeste. Celeste was a really tough platformer, if anybody played that.
Oh, Celeste. Yeah.
I was pretty proud of myself when I beat that one.
My greatest gaming achievement is when I was 16 years old, living in Brisbane. I was going on a date with a guy called Chris, and we were at the mall, and he was getting a little bit titchy because all of his, like, 12 mates were upstairs at the internet cafe playing Counter-Strike on LAN, and he was just like kind of bummed that he wasn't there. And so I was like, we should go up and play. And he's like, have you ever played before? And I was like, no, not really. Little does he know that I was doing LANs every single weekend from about 8 years of age, doing Doom, Duke Nukem, Quake, all of these games. And yeah, I knew how to fucking play. And so we got up there and I was like, how do you shoot? What's the button? And he's like, oh, I'm so cute. WADS. And I'm like, oh, okay. And this is where the moderator came out for the first time. And I'd be like, is this right? Can you look? And my gun would be pointed to the back of his character's head. And I'd be like, and I obliterate. Like, I humiliated him. I got the first place had like 42 kills and I was on 30. And then it was like 12. And I completely humiliated him, according to him, in front of all his friends. And as soon as we got downstairs, he broke up with me.
Couldn't handle it.
Jeez.
Couldn't handle it. So, yeah.
And now he's Microsoft.
What?
That was Bill Gates.
Yeah. I made him the man he is today. Anyway, do we have a Twitch question there, Amy?
Yeah, this next one's from Mighty X29. Steve, are you aware you look like a nerdy macho man?
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's a compliment. Is that just because of the headband?
Maybe. The headband and hair combo?
Oh, sure, yeah. I could snap into a Slim Jim right now. Anybody
got any? I love it.
That's very sweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a photo of Macho Man Ravage in my bathroom. It's a photo of him like going like this. Yeah, he watches pee, not poo.
Oh, okay. Oh, you face him. I see. Yep. Yeah.
Got it. You gotta be careful what photos you have in your bathroom because that can get creepy real fast.
Yes. imagine if it was like Harry Potter with the moving. The people that were like in the
pain. Hey, Steve, stuff. You missed a spot when you're scrubbing. That stream's a little weak. Have you had your prostate checked?
Well, on that note. Steve, thank you so much.
That moaning myrtle, man. Moaning myrtle creeped me. Sorry, I don't want to go on a tangent, but moaning.
Honey, what's that? I'm going to go under the bathwater and check out your
Okay, we can all agree that Moaning Myrtle was creepy, right?
Why does she talk like that?
She's an adult who hangs out in little boys' bathrooms.
Yep.
Yes. And by the way, I didn't know about Moaning Myrtle and went to Universal, to the Harry Potter land at Universal. And
she's in the bathroom.
Went to the urinal and could hear a woman giggling at me. And I was like, well, I guess I finally lost my mind.
Oh, hello, hysterical.
I the worst character in all of her.
Yeah.
She wasn't it magical, Steve? It didn't make you feel magical?
No, that made me feel fine.
Pull out your wand, Steve.
My God, it's not about the size of the wand. It's opposite.
It's the spells you cast. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching our playing. We are obviously running really late already, so we're going to keep cracking through for watching and reading. We'll be back soon. Trish, how are we going with subs?
We actually had two major raids during that last section that I absolutely have to shout out. Thank you, guys. The Lasercorn Show. Lasercorn raided us. Thank you so much, Lasercorn. If any of the Lasercorns raid are still here, thank you all so very much for being here. I'm Trisha Hirschberger. You stumbled upon my channel. Lasercorn and I used to do a show together called Nerds with Kids. Well, we had a channel on YouTube together called Nerds with Kids, which has been on hiatus for quite some time now. But yeah, I mean, if you know Lasercorn, you probably know Steve. You probably know Maud. You probably know me. So welcome to my channel. We also got raided by Michelle Boyd. Thank you, Michelle Boyd. How are you, love? I feel like I haven't seen you in forever. Anyone who's here from Lasercorn's channel or Michelle's channel, thank you guys so much for the raid. We don't do alerts during the show because it's going to be ported to a podcast later, but please know that I love and appreciate you so, so much. Ollie Morrison gifted a sub. Thank you so much for that. Welcome to all of the new followers. S-Man for the win. Thank you for the sub using Twitch Prime. You are awesome, Sauce. Himra Jubai gifted a sub. Thank you. And JMO91 also subscribed. So welcome to the Dragon Riders, everybody who's here. And again, thank you guys for those raids. You're amazing. Maud, anything you want to shout out?
All good. Watching!
Okay, here we go.
Watching time! Hi, what's up? My name is Maud Garrett. You are joined with my fellow co-host here, Trisha Hirschberger. We do a weekly segment called Power Up, and this particular portion, we're talking about watching. We've got Steve Zaragoza as this week's guest, and we wanted to ask you, Steve, what have you been watching?
What have you been watching?
Well, currently, I've been watching a lot of What We Do in the Shadows, the TV program.
Season 3!
Yes. Season 3 is so good. Has anybody here not seen it? Like, Maud, are you watching it, Trisha?
I have not seen all of season 1 or 2. No.
I don't have Hulu.
Oh, no! Get Hulu, Trisha!
I know.
You know what? I'll give you my login. You want my login?
I'm doing something. I'm texting you mine now.
Please,
help this woman out.
I first watched the What We Do in the Shadows movies with you, Steve, in a room at the SourceFed offices, and we both laughed so hard. And I remember if it was like Phil called a meeting or something happened in the middle of us watching this movie, and no one had heard of it yet. We got the screener because we were interviewing Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement we just knew we had a press interview coming up about this movie. No one knew what it was. It's called What We Do in the Shadows. We didn't really know. And then we got a screener, and so we were watching it on your laptop, Steve, in the conference room. And then I think Phil or someone called a meeting in the middle, and we were like, we can't right now. We're watching the most hilarious movie in the entire world, because we both immediately fell in love with it.
Yes.
Well, I was dying about it because Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement are just national treasures. And the fact that they made a mockumentary Spinal Tap style about vampires living in New Zealand was it's just absolute treat. If no one here has seen it, it's really you're doing. I mean, well, wait till this show is over, but then watch What We Do in the Shadows. And then the television show came out of nowhere, and it just basically was like, I remember thinking, oh no, this isn't going to work. And especially since Taika Waititi and Jermaine and none of the original was going to appear in the show. And so really disheartening felt like, oh no, they're not going to be able to pull this off. Then they started announcing the cast. And Barry's in this? Oh, Mark Prosh is in this? Uh-oh, this is maybe going to be good. And then it just exceeded expectations. It built on the film, which is something I've never seen a series based off of a film franchise do ever. And it somehow is an extension of the movie, and that's just so somehow it's almost like the movie continued on into a series about a completely different group of vampires. And then eventually, like, characters from the movie make an appearance in the show, too. So, like, this, it's just brilliant. It's just the best show on television currently.
Every night when I sit down to watch TV with my husband after Little Man goes to bed and we're like, what do you want to watch? It's like, well, do we do another episode of Money Heist? Because we are trying to plow through Money Heist, but let me tell you, they're kind of losing me around like season three.
What is Money Heist?
But I'm plowing through Money Heist, and I'm like, or we could watch Working Moms is like my guilty pleasure show when I just need something quick to laugh at. I don't know that it's really for anyone other than specifically working moms as the audience, but you know, they make a joke about spilling breast milk while you're on your work papers, and if you've been there, it's funny. So again, don't know that it's for everybody, but it's my guilty pleasure. And I'm like, or we could get our free trial of Hulu and watch What We Do in the Shadows. And that never is the winning option. But I throw it out there.
I just got to like put it on, because I think it doesn't matter what kind of partner you have. There's somebody in that show and everybody's so brilliant. It's just a really well-written, well-made show.
Steve, you asked before what Money Heist was. It is a Spanish-speaking show that you can watch dubbed or subbed. And it's this really elaborate plot to basically shut down the Spanish the mint. And then they print money and then drill a hole like out, basically.
It's really good. I enjoyed the first two seasons. Season three is doing this. Like, I'll have an episode where I'm like, I think they're kind of losing me. And then they'll pull me back in. And then they're kind of losing me. And then they'll pull me back in. But it's four seasons.
Yeah, I think it's been
really good. Where are you watching it?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, there's no shortage of things to watch, but...
No, and speaking of no shortage of things to watch, Steve, you mentioned some other things you're currently watching. What are those?
Yes. Well, I have to do a quick plug for the First Time Show, because Alana Ficus, my girlfriend at Register, a good friend of mine, are in The Leftovers, an HBO show.
We're in it.
Which is... we're reviewing it.
What?
We were the stars of The Leftovers. I'm Justin Theroux. We basically did this series called It Feels Like the First Time. It's a podcast where we were rewatching Lost, which was a great time, and we did that with Owen Carter.
I remember that. So that's back, and you're now doing it with The Leftovers?
On The Leftovers, because we came off hot off the heels of the Watchmen HBO show, another Damon Lindelof program, and Leftovers got a lot of votes for what show we should watch next. So
I really like it.
It's so good. I mean, yeah. It's the first season is really difficult because it's bleak and depressing. Because it's essentially, if you don't know, The Left is a series made for HBO, written and created by Damon Lindelof, who is one of the co-creators of Lost, Echoes of Lost, and the creator and co-writer of the Watchmen HBO series, which just ended on HBO, which was a masterpiece of a show. But The Leftovers is essentially a post-apocalyptic show, for a lack of a better term, where on some random day, 2% of the population of the Earth just disappeared. Just, they didn't rise up to the heavens. They just literally disappeared, clothes and all. And the series is truly just about where the world. What's that?
The series is kind of focusing on, like, where did they go? And then how do you...
Where did they go? And what's it? And, but more importantly, how do real people... continue on and resume a normal life after something traumatic like that happens unexplainably. Right. And it's a brilliant show, and that really focuses on the human reaction to such a shocking event. And it's just beautiful. It's beautiful.
I felt like part of what the series did so well is it wasn't so much a like the mystery of what happened to them. Like, the show didn't even really focus on that for a long time. It was much more like, how are people coping? what religious groups or philosophies are popping up from this. And mm-hmm. it does it really well.
Justin Theroux is an amazing actor as well. Like, he's spectacular. Yeah.
I mean, everybody is incredible. Justin Theroux is just incredible. And also Christopher Eccleston, who was the first reboot Doctor Who. He is a priest who is basically like, why am I still here? Why didn't I get raptured, mm-hmm. essentially? And it's a very complex, incredibly written show. And you're right, Trisha, it's not quite about what happened so much as it is how do people go on after something like that happens. Mm-hmm. And it might be frustrating to some, because I did see some people in the chat say I couldn't get through season two or this or that, because season two is very different from season one. But mm-hmm. If you're interested at all in the series, if you liked The Watchmen, if you liked Lost at all, this is basically the one of the brains behind those shows, completely grown up and making a show that's similar to Lost in a lot of ways, but just satisfying in so many artistic and incredible writing in all those ways. Anyway, so I'm doing a show where we're rewatching that, and you can catch that wherever you listen to podcasts, essentially. So it's kind of just in the Valleycast feed, mm-hmm. because we haven't really out if it's like a thing we'll separately do or whatever, and we just kind of threw it together. So subscribe to the Valley Cast, which is the Valley Folks YouTube or podcast, then you'll also get the Leftovers first time you watch. And we're only two episodes deep into it. We're going to record the third episode tonight, and we're watching two episodes at a time. So really, like, kind of like, you know, delving into the episodes, we talk a lot about what did it mean and what is this character going through, and then we answer a lot of emails. It's a really fun show.
Now, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we do for the first season of The Leftovers a SourceFed Nerd TV show?
I think me and my ex-wife did a show.
Was that it? I was trying to. I feel like we did something about it, or maybe we did episode one and then Phil killed it, or something.
Yeah, I think it was like because we had just done Breaking Bad, or we were doing Breaking Bad or something.
Oh, maybe he killed it because he wanted to do Breaking Bad instead, and he didn't think Leftovers right. was interesting enough. That might have been
right.
It.
Right.
That might have been it. But yeah. I was like, I know.
But me and my ex-wife did a recap of Leftovers, which I totally forgot about.
That's
and I
hilarious.
Should probably go back. They're all privated on my like.
I'm my sure they are now. Steven.
Well, I just remember getting mail that was like, private everything I'm in. I was like, okay.
Well, you know, moving on. A show about people moving on, and now we're moving on.
Yes. Yes, so indeed.
With that being said, Stevie Z, who are these people in bikinis that you're watching?
Oh, what? I've got a text. It's called Love Island, and I'll tell you, it's a show, my friend.
We got one in Australia.
Oh, really? Did you ever watch it?
Nope.
Listen, I gotta say, Love is reality TV, so you know what you're in for. But I gotta tell you guys, it taps into something about humanity that you don't see on American reality TV, which is actual heart and empathy and love, I guess you could say. I mean, maybe The Bachelor and Bachelorette kind of delve into that, but The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are such manufactured Disney products. Love Island, for those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, is a show where basically the hottest people you could possibly think all go to this island together, and then they're meant to hook up, and they have to pair together with someone, otherwise they'll be eliminated from the show. So you essentially like go into this beautiful mansion, and there's just hot everywhere, and it's like mismatched and matched and whatever, and you just gotta somehow sneak your way into a relationship, and sometimes it's like real and sometimes it's not, and it's the best show ever, but it's like incredible. It's an incredible study of humanity in a way, which sounds so way over what they were trying to accomplish with it, though, but I don't know. If you like to look at attractive people all have fun and actually have sex on the show and do realist things, then you should watch it.
It's your guilty pleasure show, Steve.
Well, Lana watches it more than I do, but I really like get in, and it's just, it's a ridiculous show. It's just, it's a guilty pleasure.
It's a guilty pleasure. And that's okay. We are all allowed to have those. Medici Recordings in chat said, apparently we did 3 episodes of TV show for The Leftovers, and then you continued it with your ex.
Oh, that's the story.
After it got shut down.
What are those Wow, man, those are probably private, and I don't have access to that channel.
But that's how it went down. Well, Steve, thank you for telling us what you're watching. Everybody in chat, please, of course, let us know what you're watching. Everybody who's watching this later in the comments, let us know what you're watching. And we will be right back here with more Steve Zaragoza for the reading section of Power Up.
We've also got a quick bombs away happening, though. I don't know if we want to save it for reading, though, because we are so far behind. So we might push that one back. Stick around, guys. We're going to do reading in just a moment. Thank you.
Woot, woot.
All right, Trishy.
All right, real quick. JMO91 gifted 5 subs. Thank you so much, Backsorn. I appreciate the cheer with 420 bits. Talking about that you're on episode 8 of Upload and you think it's too relatable. I know. I'm with you. Antboy909 resubbed for 20 months. Happy 20-month subiversary, and thank you so much. Classy Librarian with the 100 bits. Hemer Ajubai with the 500 bits. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for the bits. Mod?
Yeah?
Anything you want to plug?
Yeah. Geekbar on Patreon if you want to get questions prioritized for the show. We are also going to be doing a few big changes with the Patreon, including extending a little bit for Power Up, opening up the Discord publicly. Well, at least half of it we're going to open up publicly. And we're continuing doing Nerdist Book Club's after show. I just uploaded this month's May's photo shoot as well. There's a lot that has been happening. So now is the best time to back Patreon on back Geek Bomb's Patreon if you want to take advantage of all of those. Sweet.
Yay! Okay,
so reading.
Let's move into reading. I don't know about you, Maud. I have not had a ton of time for reading, but I'm looking for something new to read, which is why it's perfect that on today's episode we have Mr. Steve Zaragoza joining us.
Hey, bud. Reading now. What have you been reading, mister?
Well, you know, I read on Reddit. Yeah. That's what I read. I'm on
what
Reddit.
What does your page look like? What do you put in your preferred?
Do you want to know which things I'm subscribed to? I'll just tell you.
Subreddits. See, this is what I was like. How are you reading Reddit right now? Like, for me, for my sanity right now, this is part of why in an earlier episode I was mentioning that I'm like considering getting a therapist. Because I, like, can't handle the world right now. I can't handle it. Anytime I go online, I see people being crappy to each other. And I feel like, especially when I go to Reddit, I see people being crappy to each other. So where are your places on Reddit that you're finding solace in right now?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm subscribed to a lot of Animal Crossing subreddit because there's a lot of ideas that you can get for building on your island. And also, you can, like, upload or, like, download people's designs onto your Animal Crossing so that you can, like, use the people have made and costumes. So there's a lot of fun stuff there. But, you know, I'm subscribed to a lot of stuff, you guys. And a lot of this is, like, I stay away from a lot of the negative stuff. And so I don't really subscribe to subreddits where there's, you know, terrible worldview stuff going on, really. I'll jump into the politics subreddits just to so that I can, like, know a little something, because getting all of your politics from Twitter is really not the best idea.
Yeah.
Just having multiple places to all that information from is good. But I'll tell you, I'll spend like maybe a good hour before I go to bed just browsing Reddit, or maybe sometimes. But you know, whatever. What's my favorite subreddit? I'm
Besides
glad you asked.
Animal Crossing.
You know, I think I really like Deep Into YouTube. Deep r/deep into YouTube is a subreddit where where you see like maybe just like the weirdest things that are uploaded to YouTube.
Wait, this isn't that site you used to look at all the time at SourceFed, is it? Where
with Chloe Dykstra?
No, there was some site you used to look at all the time at SourceFed that led us to like lamps everywhere and a bunch of stuff that was like, this is the weirdest thing and it only has 300 views and...
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it, yeah. And I think Chloe Dykstra might have introduced me to it.
Oh.
But it is, yeah, it's the weirdest stuff that has like 50 views and it's like so weird. It's just the weirdest stuff you could find. But it's right up my alley and I love it. Because I can just browse there.
Stuff, one of my best SourceFed achievements was that I never did a Reddit 50-50.
Yeah, I'm glad we stopped doing that.
That was rough.
I never did one.
That's back when I have footage of people dying and now they don't, thankfully. But yeah, that was really awful. I mean, Will Haynes still reminds me that he saw some of the worst things he's ever seen in his life on Reddit 50-50. And he's like, I can't get it out of my head.
Every time we did it, I pretty much just stayed like this until I heard the other person's reaction. So if the other person reacted horribly, I would just immediately like turn to the side so that I didn't have to actually look.
But people love to watch us be in pains for some reason.
Well, that's YouTube. It's the whole reason we had to stop doing head-to-head because we couldn't think of any more like fun punishments. Because everyone was like, oh, they need to eat this horrible thing or do this scary thing.
I was always so against the like, you got to eat 4 crickets if you don't play this right. And it's like, we don't have to do.
That's just punishment.
Although, definite funny things came out of it, like ice pants.
Oh, ice pants. Yeah.
Didn't you dump a bunch of ice down my pants? Isn't that how that went down?
I did. Yeah. And fish. Didn't I put a fish down your pants?
I slapped you in the face with a fish because you lost the video game. We went to a grocery store and bought a whole fish and came back to the studio and they filmed me taking like 2 hands and slapping Steve in the face with a fish. But then after that, Steve got the fish and proceeded to chase me around the office threatening to put it down my pants. So I was terrified running away from Steve as like camera crews are following us because I thought he was going to put a fish in my pants.
It was truly terrifying.
Truly terrifying indeed. And I love you, Steve.
Oh, thank you, Trisha. I love you as well. And those are times I wouldn't trade for anything.
And a lot of them are on the subreddit r/cringe. If you go back in the day far enough. Steve.
Great time. Yes.
You also are working on a comic book right now, right?
Yeah, tell us about that.
That's correct. Brett Register and I, on the first time show, when we were doing the Lost show, we came up with this idea. At first, we were like, what if we did a comic book about Crypt Keeper? You know, the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt? Like, how did that guy become the Crypt Keeper? Like, what's that story? And so we were like, well, let's make a Crypt Keeper book. And so we started to like work on it. And then Brett was like, okay, well, let's not call it the Crypt Keeper because that's, you know, that's a name that's already trademarked. So we decided to call this thing Creeper. And it's kind of changed a lot from the idea that how do you become the Crypt Keeper? It's essentially maybe leading to that in kind of a way, but it's just about this guy, and his name is Don Fornum, and he's he works for like a local newspaper, and he somehow is led to these murders from this dark presence that we're unaware of, and for some reason he kind of knows all these really dark murders occur, and he, like, you know, he writes for the paper about them, and the series opens up with a pretty grisly murder trying to solve. And essentially it's just kind of like murder of the week, but it's leading up to this potential supernatural storyline of something like a Crypt Keeper, I guess. So yeah, Brett Register and I made a comic book. It's called Creeper and you can Comixology.
Yay! Dude, that's so
cool. How do you, I mean, that just seems like a lot of moving parts. What were some of like the biggest hurdles that you had to overcome to get it to bring it to life?
Well, you know, really like Brett. If it wasn't for Brett, this thing wouldn't even be. He just really wanted to make a comic book, and he and I really talked a lot about what it could be, and this just seemed the best thing for us to do. And it was all on Brett, honestly. Like, I'm just, my name's kind of slapped on it, and we talked about the storyline, and I'll probably write one, but it's truly all on Brett. I mean, he did all of the work. He found the list, whose name I've written down here, Bogdanovic. And I think he found him, you know, there's those apps where you can just like hire a comic book artist. Uh-huh. Did you know this?
Yeah.
So Brett just scoured endless comic book pages and portfolios, and I made an amazing cover for us, which you can see in that image there you guys just showed. And the art is really cool and dark and creepy looking. And then Brett just was like, you know what? I'm going to write this thing, and then I'm going to get this made. And he really just like did it.
He's a doer. Good on
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he just did it. And that's the thing. Like, I'm such a B guy. Like, need A people, the people that are so aggressive with like getting things done, like Maude, how you've been texting me to be like, let's just make them. Like, if it wasn't for you, we probably just wouldn't, you know. And I appreciate people like that in my life, because if it wasn't for Brett really putting all the work into an incredible writer and director and all these other things and how to do these things, I don't think this thing would even be a thing.
Damn. There you go.
That's awesome. I love you and I love Brett, and I can't wait to get my hands on it. Thank you for telling us about it, Steve.
Comixology, look up Creeper. Get those downloads so it can become like a big thing, and then you can sell the rights for a TV show and blah, blah, blah. That's how it goes, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Get Seth Rogen on it or something. You like TV shows and stuff?
Alrighty, Amy is here. Hi, Amy. We are ready for Bombs Away. What questions have you got for us today?
Hi, so this one's from our Patreon, patreon.com/geekbomb. This one's from Ollie Morris, and I will also be grabbing one from Twitch right now. Ollie asks, has there ever been a character from a film, book, TV show, or game that you based your style on in real life?
For me, I guess I could say when I was a teenager, style goal, I guess. I don't know. What's the
word I'm looking for? Steve, who is your person?
It was Silent Bob from the Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
I really loved Silent Bob. I had a coat, I had the back trench coat. Yeah. I mean, and this was before the unfortunate trench coat, you know, depopularization, but I think the only character I really tried to emulate as far as looks goes is Silent Bob, for sure.
Well, I'm in that boat where it's like I grew up inundated with people that looked like me, so I was able to find a lot more inspiration than other people. But I guess in saying that, there's always been something about wearing a bright red lip that I absolutely love. And I don't know who's really kind of like owned or, you know, that's their look. But then I was also wearing this shirt and I'm like,
it's not really remiss to say that. Perhaps I could possibly be a little bit like Harley Quinn.
But the animated Harley, not the Brooklyn talking Margot Robbie one, because she's got a deeper voice when she does that, and she has like a real that kind of voice. I'm talking like
Gordon. Like Batman the Animated Series.
When she was first introduced, I believe it was 1991 or 2 when that first came out.
Yeah, in Batman the Animated Series.
That's it. So her.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if I had to pick one character that inspired my look or what I wanted to look like, I guess I would choose that lady right back there. Jessica Rabbit. Ever since I was really little, I wanted to be Jessica Rabbit. It's like, you know, she sticks that leg out of that curtain and comes on out and everyone like falls over because she's so fine. Which I like. I like that when I was younger, I was like, oh man, I want to be like Jessica Rabbit, because then I didn't kind of fall into that super thin supermodel look that has no curves, that I know a lot of girls get really wrapped up in like the unattainableness of that. I was always into a curvier woman because I liked her. So, like, when I watched The Little Mermaid, I was like, Ursula's where it's at. Get out of here, Ariel. Because, like, I wanted a woman. Like, that's what I wanted to look like. So, yeah, I would say Jessica Rabbit. I never went so far as to, like, dye the hair red or anything like that. But I part my hair on the side and have since I was little. So does she. And, you know, getting that hourglass figure.
Yeah.
Trisha, have you seen Prop Culture on Disney Plus?
I have not seen it yet. Do they do a Jessica?
They do a Roger Rabbit episode, and they talk a lot about Jessica. You should check it out. Like, the design and shit and all of that.
She's my favorite. I always say she's my bucket list or holy grail of cosplays, because I actually tried to build a Jessica once. And it didn't work out, but it's because I'm such an uber perfectionist, especially about Jessica Rabbit, that if I was going to do it, I'm not doing it with straps. I don't care if they're clear. I'm not doing it with a corset back, because she doesn't have a corset back. Her dress dips all the way down to just above the crack in the back, and in the front, it is strapless and comes right on down the sides. So when I tried to build it before, I tried to build it with all this boning in it and stuff to, like, keep the structure of the dress. But really, I think the only way you could do it is, like, a body paint / latex to get it to stay on your body in the right way. I think it's the only way to do it. I've seen people do, like, Yaya Han did one that was really good, but hers had a back on it. Meg did one, I think, with straps, or hers had, no, Meg's had a back on it, too. But I'm like, someday it will happen.
I think maybe you should give it a shot.
I gave it a shot, and I deemed it not worthy to wear in public.
Great question. Did we have one from Twitch?
Yes, a quick one from Himura Jubei. Steve, did you watch the new Silent Bob movie?
I didn't watch it because I had heard it was no good.
I also didn't watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll check it out, because I do have a soft spot for Jay and Silent Bob. So,
well, STS 2884 in Twitch chat says I heard it was good, and Himer Jubei says no, it was amazing. So there you go. There are people who liked it.
My goodness. Okay, I'll check it out.
Iron Silent Bob. All right, dude. You be
spoiler alert.
Right?
So then we have officially nailed the Power Up Edition with Steve Zaragoza. Steve, thank you so much for joining us, not only today, but for all of the three episodes, and for having a beautiful walk down memory lane and a miserable attempt at a sing-along.
I know, I'm sorry. How to make a sing-along work on a digital thing or on an internet thing.
Well, you'd have to do it. I know how you'd have to do it. You'd have to do it using different broadcasting software and a different setup than I currently have. But in theory,
can you help me, Trisha?
Of course you can. Did you not just hear her?
Yes, please help me.
I know. Well, ever since the Valley folks started streaming, the conversation has been, Trisha, help us.
I know. I don't know where to begin. It's so overwhelming, though. It's like, I think every time we ask you that, you're like, well, get a PC. And I'm like, well, I don't even know where to start to get a PC.
I was the same for a very long time. I was, like, off a PC for 12 years. And so now that I'm coming back, it's very foreign. But Trisha is just, you know, the best tech consultant out there.
I got
I mean, look, I grew up with PCs. My brother builds them. My brother taught me how to build a PC. So it would be like PC to Mac forever, and then back to PC.
That's
so,
what I'm ready. Yeah,
but I mean, it's not even about the PC. Joe and I were actually talking about it a lot. We kept trying to put a date on the books for me to come over Valley Folk Studios and, like, set you all up, and it just didn't happen. And then, shelter in place happened. And Maude, same thing. As soon as shelter in place lifts and I can actually come over your house, I'm happy to come over and get you guys set up.
Yee-hoo! Yeah, because I've spent all this money on a camera that ended up being more trouble than it was worth.
I can't believe
But really quickly, Athlon 6023 just said, one more time, Chappie. I don't know why I find it so funny.
Chappie.
Bringing it all the way back around. All right, Steve, thank you, love, so much for joining us. It has been an absolute pleasure. You know that we adore you, and you're welcome back on the show anytime.
I feel so loved with every time I see you guys. I miss you all so much. Maude, the last time I saw you was at a drunken cat screening.
Oh, yeah. That was Christmas Day.
That was Christmas Day. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I haven't even seen you this year.
I've got to find a thing at the Valley, folk. Please.
I've got to do the movie stream thing.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Yeah. That's the last conversation we had, was I was going to come on for one of those.
The cats are, which would have been so good.
I know, but I'm pretty sure I had COVID. Remember?
Oh, you got real sick. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not coming in. I'm so sorry. I'm really well. I reckon I had Corona.
Oh, man. Maybe you did, huh?
Yeah.
Damn.
So you're welcome that I bailed.
Yes, it was a good thing. There were too many people there that day.
Wash your hands, everybody.
Wash your hands.
Stay safe.
But anyway, yes, thank you for having me, guys. You're all the best. I love you all.
Virtual thanks so much. Hugs.
Very much an extended edition of Power Up. But make sure that you are subscribing or following Trisha Hershberger's Twitch channel. Make sure you subscribe to Geek Bomb to get the video on demand. Make sure you're following the podcast where we'll release this episode in full if you like to listen on the go. And please make sure you get involved with Valley Folk if you haven't already. And if you've got a Comixology account, check out Creeper. But Steve, thanks again. Really appreciate your time. We will be back next week. Thanks for watching, guys.
Thanks for watching, everybody. You're the best. Bye.